Thanks, Ray. Thanks very much.
It's the Ray Dassey Show on RTE Radio 1. Enjoy the show.
Good afternoon on this Thursday afternoon. It's all Ray's today. We're going to be talking to Ray Dolan, Joe Dolan's nephew, later on. So Ray Kennedy, Ray Darcy, Ray Dolan. Any other Rays want to be involved? 51551. Last week, we mentioned that Hozier's song, Take Me to Church, was in the Spotify Billions Club, as in it had been streamed over a billion times. Well, today, we've news.
Take me to church, I worship like a dog at the shrine of your life.
It has passed the 2 billion, the 2 billion mark. See, I can't get my head around that. And he was tweeting today, was Hozier. I just want to say a massive thank you to everyone who continues to listen to, share in and enjoy that song. It's one I'm proud of and I'm thrilled to see it still has home in people's hearts. Here's the scary thing. That song is 10 years old. It was released in 2013. We're now in 2023. Where is the time going, ladies and gentlemen? Music, isn't it? Music does sort of, it marks time. I'm reading today that Busted, I know, announced a return with a massive UK arena tour. Now, you know you're getting old when there's a reunion and you didn't even know they'd split up. You probably didn't even know they existed. You know, like I was far too old for Busted when they were first time round, and now they're doing a 20-year reunion. My word. Anyway, for Busted fans out there, what do you want to hear? What do you want to hear? Has Busted disappeared again? That's gone. Where do things go? It was there 2 minutes ago. I played it out. Now it's gone. Busted's gone. Anyway, there you go. Strange. That happened yesterday as well. There's something odd going on with the computer. Anyway, well done to Busted. 3D printing. Now, there's a thing. I remember years ago, an Irish company came in and they brought me into a stairwell and they had this thing that they'd modified it from a computer game. And I stood there in the stairwell and they went around me as if they were, you know, as if it was a metal detector. And then a few weeks later, they delivered me perfectly, like as a figurine. It was a 3D printed version of me. And I still have it in there. The children can't look at it. They find it quite scary. So 3D printing is, it's hard to get your head around, a bit like the 2 billion streams. But the world's first 3D printed rocket made its launch debut on Wednesday night. It failed just 3 minutes into the flight. It was made almost entirely of 3D printed parts. The Terran 1 booster by California-based aerospace startup Relativity Space lifted off 25 past 11 local time from Florida's Cape Canaveral Space Force Station. And there was nothing aboard the test flight except for the company's first metal 3D print made 6 years ago. It was up there for 3 minutes and then... Well, I suppose it's a work in progress. But the future of 3D printing is mad. They reckon they're going to be able to print organs on 3D printers. Yes, that's the future. You know, so do you want a kidney? Yes. Put it in, print it off, stick it in. There you go. It's the future, you know, coming true. Things that were only in sci-fi movies are now possible. Although we still haven't cracked time travelling. I don't know about you, I'm fascinated by time travelling. You know, Back to the Future, The Time Traveller's Wife, book was brilliant, movie not so good, but just the notion of it. You know, travelling back in time and correcting some of the things you did wrong, maybe going into the future and getting a lot of numbers, then coming back and being a millionaire, all those sort of things. But it's fascinating. It is fascinating. I see that there's a time travelling TikToker. Yes, you're not surprised. No, nor was I. But they're telling us, this particular TikToker, that today, aliens will land on Earth and that the aliens plan on taking 8,000 of us with them. And I suppose if you dig too deep into the time travelling thing, you start to believe it, and that's not good for your head, you know. So, but that's the prediction there. And I don't know. I doubt that it has happened. I do know that Ireland won last night in a friendly against Latvia, which was great. There was big talk about 18-year-old Evan Ferguson. He plays for Brighton. He's been scoring goals. He was picked by Stephen Kenny yesterday for his debut in a green jersey, and he scored. Yes, like it's Roy the Rover stuff, because he was hyped and people were talking about it. All the pundits were going, yeah, this is the future of Irish football. Only 18, and then he came on. He was on.
Hands up in the penalty area, waiting a delivery here. Doherty hands it up towards the back. Touch back by O'Mahony, and touched in by Evan Ferguson.
Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. And he's just one of those guys. He seems to have an old head on young shoulders. He was talking to Tony O'Donoghue about the goal and the match.
I think it's not what I feel like, you know, being even getting the start. Just like it's what you dream about as a kid, coming to the games and watching, getting the start and actually getting a goal, you know what I mean? There's no better feeling. It's just another game of football at the end of the day. Obviously, it's in a different environment for a different team, that, but just like to enjoy it.
Yeah, there he is. And may he enjoy it for a long time to come. He's only 18. And I was listening to somebody else talk about him yesterday, and they were saying if he can keep his head, because if you're 18 and you're playing that well and you're scoring goals, you know, you'll be offered contracts, etc. There's a lot of money involved, fast cars, all that sort of thing. And if you can just keep your head and work hard and do what you're told, well, then he has a very bright future in front of him. And if he has, it's all good for the Republic of Ireland team. That's Evan Ferguson there. Now, back in November, we spoke to Ben Dolan, Joe Dolan's brother, and his son Ray Dolan. And we had a good old laugh. It was a Friday afternoon. And Ray was telling us about his bus sessions, right, which he did because of COVID. And then he kept them going. And he said he was going to keep them going for 3 years every day. And I said, well, if you're going to do that, we'll do a simulcast with you. You know, remember the simulcasts back in the day? So it was the beatbox, wasn't it? It was on television and radio. Oh, how quaint it sounds now. So we said we'd hook up. This is the promise. We hook up at Ray and he'd be in his bus and we'd be here and we'd do a simulcast. Well, I think we have the technology. It's not 3D printed and it's not time travel, but we have Sinead Ní Uachtaráin in the square in Mullingar on her way to Ray Dolan. Hello, Sinead.
Hello, Ray. I'm going to take you out to Mullingar. I am here in the square in the heart of Mullingar. And Mullingar really is the heart of Ireland, isn't it?
Well, Athlone is the middle, but Mullingar is thereabouts. It's
close by.
Yeah.
Well, I must have skipped geography class.
Yes. Well, we were always told in geography, Sinead, that Athlone was the dead centre of Ireland. That's what we were told. Now, I don't know. Mr. Loftus was a very good geography teacher, so I'll take him at his word. He was very good.
I believe him.
Yeah. So, but Mullingar is thereabouts. It's in the Midlands, so it's in the middle. It's in the middle. Mm-hmm. And of course, it's home to Joe Dolan. So you're in the square. We were there for the FLA. It's a lovely town, isn't it?
It's a beautiful town. And as well as that, I thought, you know what? It'll be quite enough today. A few people might be hanging around. A gang of students have just left the Joe Dolan statue. They were all gathered round. I'd say secondary school students or so. They were taking selfies. Someone has left a lovely bouquet of daffodils by the statue. Oh, I can see two others now passing. I'd say they're about to stop and maybe get a selfie as well. It's hopping here. I know it was hopping for the FLA, but maybe hopping. The FLA was the start of it.
So where are you exactly?
So I'm near the Joe Dolan statue. It's starting to rain.
Oh my, you make me sigh. You're such a good looking woman.
Where are you again? Thomas, we'll get you nowhere, Ray.
Where are you again?
I'm in Mullingar next to the Joe Dolan statue.
Okay, sorry, I won't any more of that. Okay, so, and you're on the way to fulfil our promise.
I certainly am. So I can't wait to meet Ray. I've heard a lot about him. I was doing some research there during the week. So he has been broadcasting from his bus for the past 3 years.
Wow.
Yeah. When you think of that, I was trying to do the sums earlier. So today is day 1,095. So if you divide that by 365, you'll get 3.
Yes.
So this is the day. And he has a few shows. So he has a show that goes out at 12 p.m. from Monday to Friday, and he calls it the 12 Bongs. And why does he call it that?
Because the Angelus, I suppose, is it?
Exactly. And yes, he starts the show with bong, bong, and he goes all the way up to 12.
Right, he does the bongs himself.
He certainly does. And so I tuned into his Facebook Live because all these shows go out on Facebook Live.
Right.
So the 12 Bongs kicks off at 12 p.m. And yeah, he has many requests coming in from people all over the world. He has listeners and viewers, I should say, because it's on Facebook Live.
Yes.
In Canada, in Holland, in Brazil. So many people tune in every day and send their good wishes. So that's the 12 Bongs. And then he has the bus sessions from 5 p.m. 7 days a week. So when you think about the amount of work that has gone in over the past 3 years, it's incredible.
And he turned up every day. Fair juice to him.
Every day.
Yeah, and we promised promised that we'd be there. It's a simulcast of sorts. Don't ask me what a simulcast is. Just go with it. Just go with it. And being in Mullingar and being beside the where are you exactly?
I'm next to the Joe Dolan statue.
Oh me, oh my, you make me sigh, you're such a...
Sorry. He is Mullingar's most famous son, isn't he? Joe Dolan.
Yeah, and people might say that Brezzy is quite famous in Niall Horan, but I think it's safe to say Joe Dolan is number one.
Yeah, and you were asking people on the streets of Mullingar about their memories of the man.
Yeah, I wanted to find out... What memories the local people had. So I was out and about, I was talking to the locals. I got talking to Sharon and she told me about her earliest memories of Joe.
I remember being brought to a Joe Dolan show in the Greville Arms, myself and my two brothers, when I was about maybe 6 or 7 years old. My mum was a massive fan. She got front row tickets, she marched us up to the front and we sat there and we had a Joe Dolan show. We had no idea what we were at, but it was absolutely brilliant. I will always remember that.
There's no show like a Joe show.
And now you've said it. Apparently he was very generous as well. I got talking to June and she was talking to me about how he was quite giving when she'd meet him.
But I remember being in town with my dad once. He was in Galvin's buying clothes and Joe was in there. We might meet them in town regular. And Joe would have given me a pound. So I was, as a young child, I was made up. That was a pound's worth of sweets for me that day. So that's probably my only memory really of Joe.
That was a lot of money. A pound full of sweets would last you for a good while.
Absolutely, you'd have to have deep pockets for those penny sweets. Yes, keep you going for a week.
Yeah. And you met Tom.
I met Tom. So some people say that they love Good Looking Woman, that's their favourite song. But I got talking to him about his memories of his favourite songs and his favourite performances as well.
Make Me an Island, I'd say, would be one of the ones anyhow. And Goodbye Venice. Always got the crowd going and Joe had a great voice. He was a unique singer. Before he came on stage, the crowd used to be going wild, waiting, and then the place, when he did come on, the place used to erupt, and that was the start of it.
Hey, hey. Yeah, I did see him. Thanks for asking, Sinead.
Where did you see him?
In the COIMS Hall in Kildare.
Oh, go away. And were you a young man at the time? Or
yes,
how long
well,
ago was
I,
this?
I was a teenager, yes. I don't think I had permission to be out.
And okay.
It was that classic one of putting the pillow sideways in the bed and covering it with a blanket and sneaking out the window.
And then when you manage to do that, it's the best night of your life because you've managed to sneak out and also see the star that is Joe Dolan.
Yeah. Mm. Michael knew him personally and made a video of his first concert. Let's listen to Michael.
Everyone has about 20 favourites of Joe Dolan. And as a matter of fact, I'd done his very first video down in the county hall here in Mullingar with Jim McCartan.
And tell me, what was the video for?
For his first live concert down here in the county hall. Joe had never done too many videos, but he was a great character. You could walk around this town and everyone just treated him was the same way. But there'll never be another Joe, as everyone realises that. And every song Joe has is a good song.
There you go.
Hard to pick a favourite, isn't it?
It is. And I'd say you encountered that because I know you spoke to loads of people. And I say they were scratching their heads when it came to choosing their favourite Joe Dolan song.
They were, but I did manage to speak to John here just by the statue not so long ago and he had a definite favourite.
Oh, it has to be Goodbye Venice. Joe always finishes concerts in the Greville Arms Hotel singing that song to a standing ovation. I can still see him walking up and down the stage, waving to a full packed house, and a fabulous song, a great song, and Joe made such a good job of it.
Yeah. I can see him now walking across the stage in his white suit, Sinead.
Oh.
With his shirt open down to his navel.
There's no show like a Joe show.
Uh,
That's for sure.
I bet you wish you could time travel now and be back there in the CYMS hall.
Yeah, well, I was listening to you earlier talk about time travel. Wouldn't it be great to go back? To the Grenville Arms.
We haven't managed that technology yet. We can barely get you on air, never mind time travel. Okay. So what's the plan now?
So the plan is I'm going to hop in the car, and from the car I'm going to hop on a bus, and Ray Dolan hopefully will be by my side, and we'll have a chat with him and we'll figure out how he's feeling about 3 years consecutively broadcasting to the world from his bus.
Brilliant, very exciting. For the moment, goodbye, Shin. Sorry, goodbye. Bye. 515 on ray@rte.ie. Powerful, as they say in Mullingar. The late Joe Dolan, his version of Blur's The Universal in the company of the RTE Concert Orchestra. That's a great version of a great song. Joe's cover of Blur's The Universal is brilliant. Sandra's been on, she says, Mullingar is the heart of Ireland, Ray. Athlone may be the centre, but Mullingar is definitely the heart, you see. Joe had albums of fantastic songs. What about Bonjour, Mademoiselle? I'm not familiar with that. Or Deeper and Deeper. He had a number of those, the Deeper and Deeper, It's More, It's More, It's More, It's You, It's You, It's You, you know, that sort of thing. That's from Martina. And No Show Like a Joe Show, Miss Those Nights Out, great memories. Visited the statue there a couple of weeks ago, says Bren. I saw Joe Dolan in the Arklow Bay Hotel. No Show Like a Joe Show, says Noel in Arklow. And on time travel, Stephen Hawking postulated that the reason no time travellers from the future have ever visited us here is because there are temporal police preventing anyone contaminating the timeline. Interesting theory. And any chance I can put forward some individuals' names as part of the 8,000 people that may be taken off to space by aliens? Just asking, says Catherine. That'd be negative, Catherine, but I like the way your brain works. You can do it, just write it on a piece of paper and throw it in the bin. But it might be just a nice exercise for you. Just get it off your chest. And as we're on time travel and we missed the bus, the thing, and they have a song called Year 3000. He said, I've been to the year 3000. Not much has changed, but the desert is water. As your great, great, great granddaughter is pretty fine. Busted, year 3000, thank you. We're looking for two people to come on and do our whodunit quiz after 4 o'clock. Yeah, two of you, three whodunit questions on music, sport, TV, books, politics, films, comedians, anything that involves human endeavour. And with all whodunits, we have clues. Yes, we do. Without a clue, you get two. And with a clue, you get one for a correct answer, because it's easier. And there is a prize, and it's a two-night stay for two people at Fitzpatrick Castle Hotel in Killiney in Dublin. Breakfast each morning and dinner on one evening as part of their midweek escape to the sea package. Fitzpatrick Castle Hotel, it's an 18th century four-star luxury castle hotel located near the historic village of Dalkey, only minutes from Killiney Beach, with panoramic views of Dublin Bay and beyond. It's family-owned. In its third generation, offers guests tranquility, breathtaking scenery and old-world elegance, which blends seamlessly with the hotel's modern luxury. You can find out more at fitzpatrickcastle.com. fitzpatrickcastle.com. Okay, I'm going to mess with your head now. This weekend, do the clocks go back or forward? So this weekend, do the clocks go back or forward? 0818715925. 0818715925. Good luck with that, and we may be talking to you after 4 o'clock.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, joined in the studio by Dylan McGrath. Are you still a celebrity chef, Dylan?
I don't know. I don't know anymore what I am.
That was the buzzword, wasn't it?
Wasn't it just...
About 20 years ago,
I know,
we were introduced to celebrity chefs.
And nobody wanted to be called it.
Was that it?
Yeah, I think so.
Because you just wanted to do your job.
That's it. But yet you use the media as well, so it's all part of it, isn't it?
Yeah, you're playing the game.
Well, it's important that you're keeping the place busy and you know, you're working hard, and you know, you've got a lot of people relying on you when you own restaurants as well. So
so you have to do what you have to do.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah.
Good to see you.
Yeah. So Dylan McGrath, Secret Service. And it starts on Virgin Media One next Wednesday at 9 o'clock, and I've seen a number of the episodes and I really enjoyed it. It's a programme with a big heart, and I think it's an important programme as well.
Okay.
Just explain to people what it is.
So it's a programme. I was asked by Shinna Will, who I'd done a bit of work before, and they said, would you be interested in this idea where we would bring in people who were, we would call them marginalised, from different backgrounds, and bring them into your business and see how they cope.
You can say, you don't need to come into that. You can just, you can sit back and the mic, we've good microphones in here.
Good man, good man. And so we brought them into the business. They were with us for about 6 weeks, and they're a fantastic bunch, different backgrounds, and then they cook a final meal. Where we invite a restaurant full of people and they cook a service. And there was a huge amount of work went into it. And it was amazing to watch them develop over the weeks.
Yeah. So we had Lisa Marie, who's a settled traveller.
Right.
Luke, who was diagnosed with Asperger's.
Right.
And has other challenges as well. Fiona, who has Down syndrome. Rosine is living in, is it Rosie or Rosine?
Rosie.
Rosie. She lives, she was in direct provision in Newbridge, originally
right.
from Cameroon.
She's a fascinating backstory. Yeah.
And Stephen, who was sort of on his way out of prison.
Right,
yeah.
Right. So I didn't know the bunch. Shout out to Adele, who was the producer on this, and she did a phenomenal job picking really interesting characters, and it's funny to watch them all together and bouncing off each other.
And these people, and the stats tell us, that all the groups that they're from find it very difficult to get work.
Yeah, I mean, work is pretty much off the page for them. You know, it's hard to really understand. And that was one of the things that drew me to the challenge of it was, you know, what is it to not work or to be told that you can't work? Because we all gather our self-esteem on knowing where that due north is. What are we running after? I know in my life, like work, I'd be lost without my work. So the idea that you can't work, or you've been told that you can't work, let's explore that and have that conversation. So I like that about the programme. I love the fact that they were all from different challenges, and then just watching them rise to the occasion. Because, hospitality is a tough business.
Well, I've seen it on telly. You know, I've never worked in it.
You've had enough of us on to know. It's such a demanding profession.
And it's very much a team thing. And it's only as strong as the weakest link, isn't that
right? And it's all about attitude and how you fit in. So if you're going to turn up and you've got a good attitude and you want to fit in and you're prepared to do the long days and put the effort in, then, I mean, that's what I do for a living. We're constantly looking at staff. Will they make it? Won't they make it?
And how do you spot that?
Well, first of all, it's given somebody the opportunity. We were an industry in crisis before the pandemic. So once the pandemic kicked in, it was just chaos. I mean, you were turning up and there were 7 people ringing in sick with COVID, and half your staff had left.
Why were we in crisis before COVID?
Because the industry is just so many restaurants open.
Right.
So many jobs were all trying to fill, skilled people, and they're not there.
Okay.
So there
was a demand for what you were doing, but you couldn't get the staff.
There's always a demand in hospitality for good people and for people to come and to have the right attitude and to train and to fit in. So that's an ongoing thing. Anybody in hospitality will tell you that is their biggest issue. So we deal with that anyway. So the idea that these guys would come from even, you know, more obscure backgrounds, even bigger challenges, and to throw them into the mix. And fair play to them. They played a blinder. And then for my team to welcome them in as well and sort of say, right, look, let's be patient with these bunch and see, could they make it? Yeah. So it was really entertaining.
You seem to enjoy it because you were introducing them to things that, and I could see it in you, that you were remembering when you were first introduced to things like, you know, opening up a scallop or, you know, cooking a lobster for the first time, and the joy you get from what you do.
100%. And in a lot of ways, cooking saved me, you know, even in my own life, that it gave me something to be passionate about. It gave me something to be creative, gave me something that I could throw myself into and develop. And that was massively important for my own growth. And it wasn't until I got sick and my back, and then that was publicized as well. But just that I had to sit with myself and I couldn't work. That was
like 2016, that was a challenge. 2016, 2017, around there.
Right. And I learned a lot about myself then. And when that's taken off you, and you don't have your work, and you don't know where north is, you know, your attitude changes, and your own stability in your own head.
We'll talk about that maybe in a moment. But first, they were all brilliant, and it worked out. And the final, the big meal that they had to work on, was a charity event, and all of the various charities that were associated with the five people,
right?
They benefited from that, which was a lovely thing,
right?
And we got to see the spokespeople, and
we got to see the work that the charities do, yes. and the amount of effort that they put into building these people,
yeah.
And their own attitudes towards how much encouragement they need, and I think they do phenomenal work. I think they were the real stars of the show.
Yeah, like I'm just thinking, Stephen, 51, you know. Ex-prisoner, very difficult at that age and with a prison record, you know, to get employment.
Right.
But he was a strong man, good team player, great attitude.
Right. And that's it. It's saying, you know, I messed up in the past. Give me another chance.
Yeah.
He had a bit of bakery experience. So he was a baker in his younger life. And he took to the kitchen, tried really hard, had a bit of leadership skills, wanted it really badly, wanted to be left alone to work and to fit in with the rest of the guys. And like, what do you say about that attitude?
It was interesting that you say leadership qualities, because he actually said that he wasn't good at delegating.
Right.
And yet, you know, I think sometimes we have these talents and skills that we don't recognise in ourselves. Other people recognise them in us, you know, Fiona is just lovely and just loves chatting to people.
Yeah. Her enthusiasm just comes across so well, and everything she did. And she was just a joy for the team to have her as well. She was brilliant.
And Lisa Marie, brilliant attitude.
And her and Stephen, the crack out of the two of them, they didn't stop slagging each other from one start to the next.
It's well worth a watch. Dylan McGrath's Secret Service, and it starts on Virgin Media One next Wednesday at 9 o'clock. Now, you were saying there that you had to sit with yourself, because the last time we spoke was 2018.
I think we were on the telly, weren't
we? Yes, we were on the telly. And you had been, I think it was 18 months, was it, that you were...
Even when COVID kicked in, I was grand because I'd already done... Oh, nearly yes. 2 years on my own. I couldn't get out of the bed. Now, I had my family and stuff, but work was not an option. And I didn't know if I was going to get out of it, if I'm honest.
And it was the back. And
it was the back, the lower back. Discs had dissolved into my nervous system, was how it was described to me. And then I got some syndrome. And the worst thing about a syndrome means they don't know what it is.
Right.
So I was just not coordinating properly. And... For somebody like me who's a bit obsessive in his work, and you know, we work really hard, to be told that I couldn't, and for me physically not to be able to do it.
And was it related to the ravages of working in the kitchen and being on your feet?
I think so. I think it was burning the candle at both ends for too long, you know. It was part of it.
Like, say when you had Mint there in Ranelagh.
I was a complete workaholic. Like,
What was the day like? How many hours were you doing on your feet?
Was it 16, 17? Yeah. Sometimes, you know. It was just crazy stuff. And I'd done 10 years before that.
Yeah.
So I'd been in kitchens in London working in some of the toughest kitchens, and you didn't do it by half. Like, you gave yourself to it. And you were obsessed and in love with it, or else you didn't do it.
Yeah, and it wasn't normal standing, because I remember watching you and the intricacies of the dishes you were doing back then. Remember, it was all that.
Right, of course.
So your upper body was tense, was it, doing this little...
Yeah, and it was a constant push yourself, you know, and you had to dig deep, you know, you constantly... And even the guys that do it today, like, I mean, it hasn't changed that much. It's a very demanding profession. I think menus have changed now where they, you know, they have these tasting menus where there's a lot more of everybody having the same thing.
That's easier.
It's taken a lot of the stress out of when you had six starters, six main courses and six desserts.
Yeah.
And it was just hellfire to get it out, you know. Yeah. But a great profession, and you know.
And do you see?
I don't regret any of it.
Well, yeah, well, I'm interested to know. Do you see a trajectory in the sort of the career of a chef? Like every chef's different, obviously, but right. You know. So you came at that the Michelin star right. at a certain age.
I was
you know,
young, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you were fired up. I remember meeting you, like you were.
Yeah,
like,
no, I was relentless.
Did you, yeah, just
obsessive.
You were on.
And you have to be a bit like that, yeah. You know, you have to be in love with it because you wouldn't do it. And to push your body like that as well, and a perfectionist, you know, yeah. And a bit tormented.
Yes.
You know, and all that, you know. And I think there's a great, I'm a great believer in not betraying your younger self either, you know.
No,
I think,
yeah, yeah.
I think you need that when you're young, you know, and then you learn to control it as you get older. You get a little bit, you learn a few lessons and you get a little bit wiser, you know.
Yeah.
And then you develop more tools in the toolbox than just the hammer, you know.
And of course, then you have the benefit of experience.
Right.
You know, because you've been there before and you know how to achieve things, that, right. don't you?
Of course, yes, of yeah, course, yeah. of course. And there's still a part of me loves that. And you know, we're in development with the guys and I have the younger team and younger people with me. And I've developed businesses as well that, you know, are creative and approachable. And we try to work with the best suppliers and we try to do everything right, you know.
Yeah.
And it's different.
So tell me about not betraying your younger self.
Right.
Is that... That sounds like something out of therapy or something like that.
No, well, I believe in, you know, when you look back at the energy that was necessary in order to achieve those things. And then as you get older, it's like I'm still in love with food. So I'm still passionate about flavor and I'm still passionate about developing as a person. But I don't push myself to the lengths that I did in my 20s because you're physically not able.
Yes.
Not only the situation you have at your back. And you look back and you go, was that necessary? You know?
And then the answer is?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Because as you get older, you learn to control it. And you learn to be better about it and how to hopefully see it in other people and hopefully inspire them as well that they might be a bit smarter with it than you were.
Yeah, so you see yourself in younger chefs.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's not natural if you don't.
No,
and I think anybody that's done that sees it, yeah.
And what's the emotion then? Is it envy or is it recognition envy. Or you know what I mean? Like, I suppose the question is, do you miss being a Michelin star chef? Do you miss that?
No, I still am drawn to that type of food and I really appreciate it. There's a side of me could easily do it again, you know, because you need to have something to run after as a human and you need to be constantly setting yourself goals and challenges.
Mm.
And when you conquer certain things, you still want to achieve. That's part of my character.
Yeah,
that's part
yeah.
of my nature.
You're
so
driven.
Never say never, you know, yeah, yeah. There's every likelihood that I do it again. But yeah, at the minute we're focused on what we're doing,
yeah.
you know.
In watching the programme, there's a more mellow Dylan McGrath
right.
on offer. That's okay. your current offering.
sort of, current Amos Bush.
Yeah, it's a sort of mellow Dylan McGrath. And so looking back on a less mellow Dylan McGrath, and there were moments there when it was quite public, you know, and how do you feel about those moments? How do you feel about those?
Well, I think it's important to remain authentic. And to be yourself and to not to worry too much about, you know, anything other than your own family and developing and growing as a human and constantly setting yourself challenges so that you're developing. When you become a business owner, you realize that, you know, a lot of people rely on you and you rely on them.
Mm.
So your priorities change. Uh-huh. When you're a young guy,
yeah,
and it's
yeah,
all
yeah.
about the turbot and it's all about the perfection of whether that coriander is long enough, you know. And you're driven by that insanity. And
yes.
I worked with people who brought that out of you.
Yeah.
And it was tough and you became tough.
Yeah.
And in order to survive, you're only going to look back at your younger self and sort of say, oh, you were a bit too tough.
Yeah.
But you had to be tough or else you'd have got kicked out. So, you know, where's the balance?
But it is, there you go. When you're professional perfectionism
right.
can appear quite ugly sometimes, can't it?
Right.
Because, you have to be tough on the people around you to achieve
right.
it.
Yes, this is true. And I think that the industry has had a look at itself and created a bit more awareness around that. See, there's a fine line between getting your ass kicked, if I can say that, and being too tough on people, you know, for the
how
wrong reasons.
How do you strike the balance?
Well, you've got to understand people and understand what the objective is. Is it about somebody developing and getting better for the greater good of the team? Or is it about your indulgence and what you want? Because if it's that, that's not good and it's never good. But if it is always about bringing the best from people and kicking it where it needs to be so that the team are under pressure, because you don't grow in the comfortable, you grow in the uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And I think when you understand that about the human condition, it's really important that that's the mood that we set. Of course, lines are crossed and mistakes are made, all in pursuit of perfection. And anybody who runs after that will tell you that. But at the same time, when you mature as a human, you realise, well, for me, I do believe it was always about growth and development of people. Yeah, we all make mistakes, but ultimately, it's about whether or not you're growing as part of a team.
Yeah.
You're shifting in your chair there. How is the back?
It's good.
Is it? Yeah.
It's good. I have a little routine. I get up in the morning and I have all sorts of stretches.
Right.
I have a little skipping routine and I have a maintenance job, but I'm able to stand on my feet for good 10, 12 hours a day, which is huge progress from where I was.
Yes.
But I'm still working on it because I need my full upright self in order to do my job. And we work really hard. So we're still pushing ourselves. We're just careful about it.
Do you mind me asking your age?
Oh, 45 now, yeah. Eh?
So you
cracking on.
But you want to be doing this for another 15 years or so, yes. At least.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. No, yeah.
So you have to, it's maintenance there and it's, yeah.
Yes, yes. No, and I've been to everything, you know, chiropractors and injections and, you know, and it's, you know, life just keeps sending you challenges. It's just about conquering
them. And the back is it's a pain, obviously. It's a pain in the back because it affects everything, doesn't it?
Right.
Doesn't it? Right. Like it's there. I was just reading today. I don't know if you read it, but they've done a study on all the things that people would think would be painkillers, to do with the small of the back, and none of them work.
Right.
So they've discovered this. You should read that. But you've been through the ringer, haven't you? You were on the serious stuff.
Yeah. Well, that's what's recommended to you. You know, when you're going through that sort of pain, and it's very easy to say, right, okay, take these, you know, and then you think, right, well, how long am I going to be taking these? Because this isn't a good idea, you know, and then it's like, right, okay, so what do I have to do to actually live no painkillers? And what does that look like and feel like? And how do I get there? So again, another challenge, you know, but well worth it, you know. There's a lot to be said for feeling healthy and feeling strong and when you appreciate it more.
Exactly. So you've come out of it. You've come out the other side 100%. A stronger person.
100%.
Yeah. I'll give it another recommendation because it needs to be recommended, the programme. Dylan McGrath, Secret Service, stars on Virgin Media One, Wednesday, yesterday week at 9 o'clock. And it's a great programme with a big heart. And Dylan, thanks so much for coming in. Good to hear Dylan McGrath. Best meal experience ever was in Mint several years ago. Any Michelin restaurant experience since has never measured up. There you go. That's nice, isn't it? Yeah. Dylan made a point of speaking to every table on the night. Very impressive, says Marie. And then somebody else says, I'm head chef in a restaurant in Munich, working in the kitchen for 38 years. I've just finished work for the day and I'm at the gym. You have to stay fit. Yeah, because that's Paul. I remember you saying to me that you were in the gym 3 or 4 times a week when you were trying to.
Yeah, still am.
Yeah.
Yeah, still am. And that's it. And it's consistency. And I always chased after consistency in the work. But it's consistency in the body too and in the mind. It's all necessary if you're going to make it out alive.
I know it's boring, but it's about routine, Dylan. Yeah. It's boring as hell, but that's what it is. And if you can squeeze all these things into a routine, then it becomes habit and then it's not a big chore anymore because it's just what you do. Anyway, great to see you in such
great
good health
see you,
and good
Ray.
Mood. Thanks,
good
Dylan.
Man.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now back to Sinead and the Eulachon. Hello, Sinead.
Hello, Ray, and hello from the bus. I'm here in Mullingar, and there's another Ray by my side as well. I've made it. This place is looking great. The bus is so kitted out. It's kitted out really well. Memorabilia, and we have signage, and we have the man of the moment himself as well.
Hello, Ray.
Hello.
How are you?
Hello, Ray.
It's like an echo.
Yeah. I'm a man of my word. So we said we'd do it, and here we are doing it. Yeah.
Really, really appreciate it.
Will you give us the history of the bus first, Ray?
The history of the bus is, this is Uncle Joe's tour bus. We bought it in 2007 and we had it for a little bit of the tour, and then Uncle Joe passed away. And I, at that time when Uncle Joe got sick, I says I'd buy myself a little van now for the solo gigs, and I had it all sorted out, and lo and behold, Uncle Joe passed away, and shock for everyone. And my father says, do you know what? You better insure that, Jock. So I insured it.
You inherited the bus.
Yeah, right. A family heirloom.
You're right, nice. And would Joe have been in that bus on tour?
Oh, totally, yeah. We're sitting on a seat here at the moment. And we had, bits and pieces and all that Joe put here in the van. We kept them all.
Okay. Now, Sinead was filling us in, so you remind us. This started in lockdown, Ray.
St. Patrick's Day, came home from London, myself and Maggie. We were on a tour over there, a solo tour, and then we arrived home and I says, what'll we do now? And I says, you know what, I'll sing live in the house. And Maggie says, no, go out there in the bus and sing out in the bus.
It's okay, she knows you so well. go out to the bus.
That's so great. That was the idea. But it was actually a very good idea because you could move it.
Yeah,
you could go to different places with the bus.
Right, okay.
Not with the equipment plugged in, but still, yeah.
So the first one, remind us what it sounded like the first day you did it.
Well, the idea was to create a habit and to get into a good mindset, because I thought this was going to be a little long spin and it ended up a long time. So what I done was, the first one was literally very strange, because it's a bit like what we're doing now. It's a little bit strange to me because we're talking to a phone and a microphone, and you're in Dublin and I'm in Mullingar. But the same idea was, you're looking into the screen going, right, now we got to sing out there. How do you project into that screen? So it was sort of a new learning experience, and I was in jitters, like, some days I'd done really good ones and some days I'd done really bad ones.
And it was,
but
you,
we kept doing it.
You and the Casio keyboard and an audience all over the world. Because I'm looking at the list of places. Give us a list there.
Well, we have Holland, Germany, all over Europe, all over America, all over Brazil, all over Canada, New Zealand. There's a great one comes in from Nova Scotia.
Right.
Bucharest comes in every day. Karina Ball comes in from Holland. And it just goes on and on and on. And new people come in. And then there's people that say nothing, like it is radio. And you don't know who's listening.
Yeah.
But you don't know who's looking either. And so that was it. And then we ended up with a second show called the Shout Out Show, which became the 12 Bongs. And we have that at 12 o'clock every morning. And the whole idea with that one was, the bongs came from trying to settle myself down, going, bong.
Okay, right.
I'm settling down, bong. So that was the one sort of to encourage local business and introduce guests on board, because we had a lot of guests on board.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
So and the bus session's at 5 and then the 12 bongs is at 12 o'clock, obviously. And
exactly.
You were keeping the memory of your Uncle Joe Dolan, alive, which is great. And people are loving the fact that we're talking about Joe today. I'll just give you a few of the texts, if you don't mind, Ray. Joe is the Tom Jones of Ireland, says Ruth. And it's great to hear all about Joe again. It's a sad day as Ray is finishing off his singing on the bus after 3 years doing it. I for sure will miss him live every day. That's Irene from Johnstown Bridge, County Kildare.
Ah, thanks, Irene.
And Joe, you tell us about Joe's funeral and the singing of Goodbye Venice, Goodbye, and who sang it and what happened.
Yes, it was the most unbelievable funeral, to say the least, and the energy that we got from everyone who came to the funeral, it became actually an event in its own. And Joe would have revelled in it. Do you know what I mean? It was unbelievable. The one that got me really was when we brought the coffin out and all the lights started, and then we brought him the whole way up then to the cathedral. That was the one that stuck in my mind. And then when we were leaving the church then, my sister Sandra singing Goodbye Venice. And and they're very emotional things, because he's here with us in the bus.
Yeah.
He's looking at me. And we're still on tour. And we still have our show called The Remembering Joe Show, but we call it The Joe Dolan Show, Remembering Joe with the Dolan Family.
Yeah.
And we're still on tour with that. And Daddy's up on the stage still, and he's still in the back of the bus here as well. And We're still rocking and rolling.
Still rocking. And now, this might be misremembered by this person, but they said that the pallbearers of the coffin swayed from side to side as they carried Joe to the tune of Goodbye, Venice, Goodbye.
That sounds great, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's, if there's a movie, that's the way to do it. That's the way to do it. My mum and dad loved Joe Dolan. Many years ago, my then girlfriend, now wife, and my parents went to see Joe in the Longford Arms. He was brilliant singing live and knew nearly everyone in the crowd at the show. And I was on a school trip to Europe in 1974, says Liam in Monaghan, and I was amazed to find and play a Joe Dolan song on the jukebox in Luxembourg. He was big in Europe.
Extremely big and way into Eastern Europe as well. And some, like when Joe in the 80s played in ice rinks in Russia, so the music went over literally by the airwaves as like it is now, and all them people got to listen to Joe's music. So yeah, all that is all coming back now because we've such amount of people moving into our, coming into our country from all over, especially Eastern Europe, that have remembered Joe. There's a guy actually in Mullingar Valley and he has a computer shop, and he would have listened to Joe's music over there and he would have watched Joe on television, right, and all this type of thing. And then he moved to Mullingar and Joe walked down the street one day and Valley went, "It's Joe Dolan. What are you doing here?" He says, "Just, I'm from Mullingar." "Huh?" And Valley was like in awe. Like he just went to bits, you know.
That's great. That's he's never recovered, the poor man. He's now here, but Joe, why are you finishing up, Ray, after 3 years?
I'll tell you, Ray, I'm at a juncture in my life at the moment. And I've done 3 years. And I remember we were on the show with you, were saying, yeah, Ray, I'll be up at 1,000 there. And you says, yeah, give me a call back. And I didn't give you a call back. And then I got to 3 years. And then I sent a message. And then I thought, 3 years now. And then we have the 12 Bong show. And what's happened is I'm a bus driver as well. Mm. So, and actually the lads on the bus bring on this little speaker and they play music. And then they put in, "You're such a good looking woman." And it's going around again. You're thinking, Joe, I can imagine. I'm driving the bus and all the lads are playing dance music and Joe Dolan.
Yeah, well, so, there you go. Yeah. So
I'm ranting and raving.
You didn't answer me a question there, but you're going to sing for us.
So, what's the question?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter. Okay, so you've a Casio 45678, and you've...
Oh no, we've a lot of serious technology here. Yes, yeah. MP3s and MIDI. Yeah.
And Sinead has volunteered to do backing vocals with you.
She is. She's on the lights.
I certainly am, Ray.
Right. Okay. What's the atmosphere there? What's the atmosphere there like, Sinead? It's good crack, isn't it?
Yeah. It's like an intimate concert here in the bus. My aunt and Ray, I can't wait to hear what's to come.
Yeah.
He's preparing himself here. He's by the microphone. He's got the ring light on. He's nearly ready to take over.
And Sinead,
it's wet outside, but it's not indoors.
Can you get the sense, the spirit of the late Joe Dolan there in the bus?
Are we ready?
Ah, yeah. Oh, well, I can now. That's for sure.
Come on, Ray.
To all your listeners, Ray, thank you very, very much indeed. When God created a woman for me, he must have been a beautiful moon.
Come on, Ray.
I to show the world what a woman could be. When he created a woman like you,
on the bus. 3 years of broadcasting the bus sessions and the bongs, and what a great achievement, turning up every day and entertaining people all over the world. And we say thanks to Sinead Niulacon as well, and she'll be back on the road next week. Right now, quick commercial break.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Tweet at Radio Ray RTE. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
And if you broadcast from a bus, please contact The Ray Darcy Show. We could do a simulcast with you too. Anish Oshinan, the Prief Skelton, Noctil, and Marion Ihuluan. Grandma, good Marion, thank you very much. 51551 ray at rte.ie. We had a great laugh at Ray Dolan at Albert Hammond's gig a few years ago. Albert wrote great songs for Joe. Didn't he write You're Such a Good Looking Woman? I think he did. Hello to the fabulous Ray Dolan. He used to play music for patients of St. Luke's Hospital when he drove the ambulance, says Fiona from St. Luke's. There you go. And one year I was manager of a hotel working New Year's Eve, and we all, as the staff, felt hard done by. Joe Donnell arrived in his bus with champagne. It was honestly the best New Year's Eve ever. He was such a gent. One of the good ones, says that person. I actually sang with Joe one night in Silver Springs Hotel in Cork. It's my claim to fame, and I have the photo to prove it, says Breda. And great memories of Joe and the band when on holiday in Ireland. Can you please say hello to the other Ray? That's from Maggie and Robbie in Scotland. So loads of fond memories of the late, great Joe Dolan. Now it's time for our Who Done It quiz. If I get my mouse to do the proper thing. There you go. Two quiz are standing by and there is a prize. And it's a two-night stay for two people at the Fitzpatrick Castle Hotel in Killiney in Dublin. It's an 18th century four-star luxury castle hotel located near the historic village of Dalkey, only minutes from Killiney Beach, panoramic views over Dublin Bay. And it's a lovely, perfect merging of the old and the new, and there's tranquility out there. And you're very close to Dublin City as well if you want to go in and do a bit of shopping or sightseeing or whatever. FitzpatrickCastle.com. FitzpatrickCastle.com. Now, hello, Dara Doolan.
Hello, Ray. How are you?
Not too bad. Dara Doolan. You spell a female Dara differently than a male Dara.
Yeah. I've been living that with that all my life.
Have
actually.
You? Yes, yeah.
Oh, God, yeah. You that's the boy's name.
I was just going to ask you that question. Would there be more male Daras than female Daras?
I suppose there are.
Yeah.
I would have come across more, I suppose, males than I would. But there's few of us around. Very few, mind you, but there are a few.
I went to school with a female Dara. She was in the convent across the road, yeah. They used to come across to our school for maths, the girls, because they didn't do honours maths over in the girls' school. So there was a Dara. Why did you ever ask your parents why they called you Dara?
Yeah. I often asked my mother, and she said she actually particularly liked the name.
Right.
And Dara sometimes in the Irish language can mean second, and I am her second child.
So there you go.
There could be a bit of truth in that. I'm not sure.
Yeah, and you know that because you're a primary school teacher, so yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Retired.
Retired. And the hubby is a primary school teacher, retired as well.
That's right, James, my husband.
Yeah. And how is the retirement going for both of you?
Oh, we love it. Absolutely love it. Yeah. We try and travel as much as we can. Of course, with COVID, we weren't able to go anywhere.
But
we had a big trip planned to America, but that went down the funny. We never got there. But we have a place, small place in Kerry, so we try and get there as much as we can.
Nice.
You know, it's fabulous down there. Yeah.
Whereabouts?
In Glenbey, on the Ring of Kerry.
Beautiful.
We live a duplex there, yeah.
You're very lucky.
Oh, we are. We are extremely lucky. We love going down there, yeah.
And three grown-up children, are they near or
three
far?
Three grown-up, Sean. They're all in Cork. Two of them are still with us. Sean, my eldest, lives out. He doesn't live with us. And the other two, Cullum and Leah, the two of them live here in Ballinlock with us.
Right.
And they're all around.
Do you do all the cooking then for the hubby and the children?
No. We share it.
Oh,
we
great.
Share it. Yeah, absolutely. Right. Yeah.
They always want me to ask. So, what's on the menu tonight?
On the menu tonight is something very boring. It's just chicken Marylands and spuds, and a bit of broccoli, maybe.
Yeah.
But my husband is a great spud man. He's from West Cork, so he likes to have spuds with his dinner.
Which way does he eat them?
All mashed. Always mashed.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Always mashed. Yeah.
Loads of butter and. So. Yeah.
Oh, salt and pepper, and a bit of hot milk then as well.
Nice.
Thrown in as well.
Okay,
nice creamy mash.
Excuse my ignorance, but what makes a chicken Maryland?
It's breaded, I think.
It's breaded. Right.
Just breaded chicken fillet.
Right.
It's kind of boring.
Right.
Okay, kind of a boring dinner, but anyway.
Okay. Yeah, you're up against Niall Brosnan, and Niall is in Limerick. How are you doing, Niall?
How are you?
Great. You're up against Dara today.
Hi, Dara. How are you keeping?
Hi, Niall. How are you?
Good, good, good.
Good. And you're on your way home from work, Niall?
Just in the door, sharp.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay. Whereabouts in Limerick are you?
So I'm from Bruffin County, Limerick.
Right. And you have a wife and three children?
I do indeed, yeah. So Trish, Grace, Emily and Kieran.
Yeah, and they're all under six. Not your wife, obviously, because that'd be...
Yeah. So, so busy house, but a good busy.
Yeah, so Grace is six, Emily is four, and Kieran is two.
That's it, yeah.
Wow, yeah. So what's the plan for tonight, then?
Well, weather permitting, my father-in-law, mother-in-law, Patsy and Kevin have just arrived there, so I'm chopping. We've a bit of a project on chopping down trees, so Kevin has given me a bit of a hand there with that. So, well, the weather isn't too favourable, but we might get a break in it.
Yeah, well, the good news, if you have a project like that ongoing, is that the time changes this weekend, which gives us all an extra hour to do those sort of things in the evening.
Yeah, exactly. To be nice to see the stretch coming in the evening.
Right? It will, yeah. Right. Yeah. Now, it's Niall versus Dara. Three questions each. I'll give you the category, then I'll ask you if you want a clue or not. If you go without a clue, you get two. And if you go with a clue, you get one for a correct answer, because it's easier. Whoever gets the most points at the end is the winner. And if the drawing points, we go to a tie break question. Good luck to you both. Here we go.
Thanks. Good luck, Niall.
Best luck, Dara.
Right, Dara, we start with music. So would you like a clue or not?
No, I tried the first one without a clue.
Okay, radio. So for two, who is this? For everything I long to do, no matter when or where or who, has one thing in common too. It's a sin. Who's that?
Pet Shop Boys.
It is the Pet Shop Boys. Well done. It's a sin. 2 points
Thank
for you. Good start. Niall.
Yeah.
Music. Do you want a clue?
I got no clue. Really.
No clue. Okay, so for two, who is this? So, I hear you calling. Oh, baby. Who's that?
I don't have it ready.
No.
I can hear no.
You're going to kick yourself now. Erasure. Erasure.
Erasure.
A little respect. Okay, rightio. Right, still early days, Niall. Stay with us. So, Dara, you're on two. Niall, you have to score. Second category, film characters. Film characters.
Characters. Okay, I'll try one without a clue as well.
You with the clue? Or without?
Without a clue.
Without a clue. Okay, so remember, it's the character. Film character we want, not the actor.
Character, okay.
So for two, which film character is this?
God is my witness. If God is my witness, they're not going to lick me. I'm going to live through this, and when it's all over, I'll never be hungry again. No, nor any of my folk. If I had to lie, steal, cheat, or kill, if God is my witness, never be hungry again.
Very dramatic. Who's that?
Scarlett O'Hara.
It is Scarlett O'Hara. Well spotted from Gone with the Wind, played by Vivian Lee. And you get two right now, Niall. This is pressure of all pressures, because you have to go for two here. So it's film characters again.
I won't say no problem.
Yeah. So it's film characters again. So for two, it's the film character and not the actor. Here we go.
I'm so sorry. I didn't mean it. I mean, I meant it, but I was so stupid that I didn't mean what I meant. It's only a diary. Everyone knows diaries are just full of crap.
Who? Which film character is that? No.
I don't know.
No. And would you got Scarlett O'Hara?
No, I said the Pet Shop Boys was about the only one. Right, okay, yeah.
That's Bridget Jones from Bridget Jones' Diary, played by Renée Zellweger. Okay,
and the clue would have been
this character was known for her big knickers. So that might have helped you or not. Niall, we're going to send you out a Ray Dar show. Keep cup. You can have it in the car to commute in the morning. Put your coffee or tea in it, whatever.
And
lovely talking to you. Mind yourself, Niall.
You too, Ray. Take care.
Good luck with the the tree chopping. Okay, well done, Dara.
Thanks very much, Ray. That's great.
Yeah, so yourself and himself can travel up now to Dublin to Fitzpatrick Castle Hotel in Killiney. You can go to fitzpatrickcastle.com to see what's in store for you. Enjoy that and well done.
Well, thanks very much indeed. Thank you very much.
See you now, Dara. Bye now. Great talking to you.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Oh, somebody's disappointed. Seriously, Ray, I thought you were a foodie. Chicken Maryland is served with pineapple and banana. No wonder I didn't know about it. Chicken with pineapple and banana. No, thank you. Ray, my 25th birthday was in the middle of the week and we were in the pub doing nothing in particular when we heard Joe Dolan was playing in Dundrum in County Tipperary, 25 miles from us. And we said we'd go and see him. It was a sit-down show, but we stood at the bar. We were the youngest people there. He spotted us and asked us up on stage. He asked us if we were lost. And we said, no, it was my birthday. To which the bold Joe replied, I know, that's why I'm playing here tonight, for your birthday. Very funny at the time. And he sang a few modern songs from his 21st Century Joe album. I have to say, he was amazing and the band were brilliant. I always remember it. Fond memories of your 25th. This man got a mention in dispatches earlier on by Sinead. And seeing as we were in Mullingar and all that sort of thing, we said we'd play this. Here you go. Niall Horan and his new song, Heaven, on RTÉ Radio 1. The new single from Niall Horan, recently spotted in the Oval Office alongside the President of the United States of America, Joe Biden. Now, last week, we got an email into ray@rte.ie from a bride-to-be who wanted advice on how to stop biting her nails. We read it out on air. Huge reaction. More people bite their nails as adults than you would think. So we invited Dr. Joanna Fortune into studio. Joanna is a psychotherapist and author. Hello, Joanna.
Hello, Ray. Good to be here.
So you have the stats on nail biting. What are we talking
about?
Well,
it's estimated that as high as 30% of us will engage in nail biting at some point in our lives. And, you know, in childhood, adolescence, and then for a lower percentage, it will linger into adulthood. And with this email, that's what it sounded like. This isn't something that began in adulthood, but has continued into. And that's different because any of us, you know, we can develop habits. Good and bad. We try to make them good, but we're all prone to the bad as well from time to time. And it might be context specific. It fits with whatever's been going on in our life at a point in time. And when that context is addressed, the habit goes with
it. Right, okay.
So it's not that every habit we form is a lifelong one, but some of them are harder to break than others. And for some people, they're harder to break than others.
So bring us back to the beginning. Why would somebody start biting their nails in the first place as a child?
I mean, with children, we tend to see, the nail biting is very common. Nose picking is very common. And it's
Thumb sucking.
I've even had some toe sucking. Kids are just generally not grossed out by things that disgust us adults. They're just not. So they don't see the problem with it. For a lot of children, habits are transient. They do outgrow them and they're certainly not something to psychopathologize. It tends to be about trying to spot a pattern around them. You know, is there a time of day when they're more likely to do this? Is it when they're getting tired? Mm. Is it when they're understimulated or perhaps they've been overstimulated and they're too highly strung to wind themselves down and they use something like thumb sucking or nail biting as a form of regulation?
Soothing.
Exactly that.
I'm wondering, see somebody else do it, or why would you it in the first place?
It can start for like the most easy reasons, like you might have a little hangnail or a little loose cuticle, and so you start, what's that? And you start picking at it, and then you bite it, and then you go, that's interesting, and now that's your new thing that you do. Okay. So it tends to be that, and like habit formation isn't a negative thing, far from it. And the good news, I'll do the positive negative on it. The good news is if you can form a negative habit, you can form a positive habit.
Right.
You might need a little nudge and a little help, but you can do it.
So is it replacing a negative habit with a positive habit?
I mean, it often is. And for most of us, it will be enough. Like I noticed in this email, there's a motivational factor. You know,
yes,
I'm getting married and I want beautiful nails for that. And so sometimes for many of us, that will be enough. That will be the motivational factor. We'll say, look, focus on the wedding. So I'm not focused on biting my nails, I'm focused on the wedding. Uh-huh. And that can be enough to short circuit it.
Okay, before we get to the point where you're going to tell us maybe how to sort it out, I'm just interested to know if it is stress related, because I was, you know, off the top of my head, I was thinking that maybe it starts out as a stress response and then becomes a habit.
Yeah.
Or is that the case?
Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, repetition is how we learn.
Right.
You know, and again, that's good and bad, because by repeating a behaviour, even if it's not in our interest, it can become a habit.
So the reason you started doing it in the first place may not be the reason you're doing it now.
Exactly. Uh-huh. So if you, and not all habits are underpinned by stress or anxiety, but some are. And for some of us, we'll notice that you might have a quirky habit and you know yourself it's more exacerbated when you're in a time of stress in your life.
Right.
And you have that awareness. Like in this instance, if somebody is nail biting and it is underpinned by stress or anxiety, and this lady lists everything she's tried, by the way, you can try everything people will say to you, you know, the smelly nail polish or the really good nail polish or the manicures. You can do all of that. And actually what's underneath it still needs to be addressed, because what might happen is you address the nail biting, but without addressing the underlying anxiety, it will find its way out in a new symptom. And you may find, well, I sorted that, but now I'm doing this other behaviour.
I would imagine that all adults, well, most, if not all adults who nail bite don't want to do it.
I would say so
yes,
too.
I'd say that's,
I mean,
fair
for
enough.
Sure.
Okay, yes.
Yeah. And I think when it's chronic nail biting, it can have an obsessive compulsive quality to it. And we tend to see this with, I think there's even a word for it. I think it's, I'm going to say this wrong now, I'm sure, but onychophagia, which is like very chronic nail biting. So that when you get to the butt of the nail, you'll keep biting and it will affect the skin and everything around it as well. So that tends to be at a much more chronic level. And, you know, we would probably group that in with what we'd call, you know, body focused repetitive behaviours.
Okay.
Obsessive hair pulling or skin picking would all fall in under that category. And that tends to be at what we call the over and above level. So you might need some therapeutic support, very likely, to be honest with you, to support you in breaking that.
Okay. So for people who are listening who want to kick the habit.
Yeah.
And maybe it isn't as serious as you've described there.
Absolutely.
What do you suggest?
Well, first of all, be really aware that this isn't just something you don't want to do, because there are risks. You know, our hands are full of bacteria and dirt and you're putting them in your mouth. So this isn't just, it's socially unacceptable. It's not good for you. There's lots of things I like
they
to start.
They probably know that already.
At some level. Yeah,
yes.
I think it is that. Yeah, I know that, but I still, because it's the impulse, isn't it? It's
that
neurological craving. Do you know what? We do something that feels nice. So be honest with yourself. Is it soothing? And what could you replace the soothing quality with? Find something that's going to meet that need so that you're not denying yourself while trying to break it, because that's really hard to do.
Mm.
Try some entry level stuff at home. I think enlist a family member and you're going to say, look, I really need help with this. I'm probably going to fight you on it. I'm going to resist you on it, but I need help. If you see me doing it, distract me, redirect me, ask me to come do something. With children, I tend to say, do something with their hands, get their hands busy, hand stack, thumb wrestling, get them washing dishes with you, peeling veggies, get the hands busy.
Right. So
it's that way.
Somebody to police your nail biting activity.
Yes, or support you in bringing awareness so that doesn't become a row in the family.
Yeah.
Equally, you know, you could do things. Some people do find it useful to go for the manicure, because that long wearing nail polish, all of those, they're harder to bite through and you're less likely to do it. Some people go to the extreme of wearing gloves for a period of time, cotton gloves that will simply prohibit you getting access to your nail. And if you go enough time without doing it, that in itself can be a help in breaking the habit.
There's no definitive on this, is there? The length of time it takes to make, you know, to create a habit or break a habit.
Get curious about what's underpinning it.
Right.
I think that, and if you're saying, no, I'm really calm and relaxed, I just like doing this, you may find these kind of overt behavioural responses and mechanisms are good and helpful in breaking the habit. If you're saying, no, this is because I have an anxious disposition, this is something I've done since childhood, and it peaks when I'm under pressure. I mean, no greater stress than to be planning a wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And you know this, then I would say you might need something like a behavioural therapy, like a form of psychotherapy that can help you to interweave that anxiety with narrative.
Okay, we've about a minute to go there. So what I was saying earlier on about replacing this behaviour with another behaviour.
Yeah.
What sort of things do you suggest there?
Well, I think it could be taking care of your nails. So instead of focused on, I don't want to bite my nails, you reframe that in your head with, I invest in taking care of my nails.
Right. Okay.
And you actually think about it differently. And I think it's just about keeping your hands busy, engaged. For some of us, stick them in your pocket, sit on them, sing a song in your head, start to finish, and you will not bite your nails till the song is done. Bring conscious awareness, and you know you're what you're trying to do. So support yourself.
So don't bite your nails mindlessly.
And that's often when it happens. So you want to bring awareness to it.
Hopefully that helped somebody, and in particular the lady who emailed in and is getting married later on in the year. Joanna Fortune, thanks so much for coming
My
in.
My pleasure.
Thank you. Cormac is on Drive Time. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday evening. Here we are here.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.